We've been introduced to a new term, haven't we? Shelter in place. Stay where you are. Don't come out. And if you have to go out for some critical purpose, no more than 10 people gathered together. You all need to know, as you're there at home watching us, there are only 10 of us here producing this service. And we're staying away from each other here also. So this that we're involved in is new to all of us. One of the things we keep hearing, in fact, one of the things we keep saying is, I've never seen anything like this before. Never seen anything like this before in my life. All uncertainty. Without question, we're living in very uncertain times. What's going to happen to our town? What's going to happen to our state? What's going to happen to our nation or our world, for that matter? And after it's all resolved, once those in leadership get their arms around it, what's going to be the condition of our economy after it's all over? Well, we don't know. All that is very uncertain. Did you know that researchers tell us that all this uncertainty is causing stress? And you're probably aware that stress is unhealthy. It hurts us. So we're actually being hurt in the midst of all this. Dutch researchers conducted an experiment in which they attached electrodes to people. They told one group they would receive 20 hard jolts. They told the second group they would receive only 3 hard jolts, but those jolts would be intermingled among 17 medium jolts. You know what? The second group experienced more anxiety. The second group's blood pressure went up. The second group's pulse went up because of the anxiety of not knowing. The anxiety of not knowing was much more dangerous, much more painful than the difficulty of the shock. In another study, colostomy patients who knew their colostomies would be permanent were happier 6 months later than those colostomy patients who were told there may be a chance of their surgery being reversed. Again, it's the uncertainty that hurt them more than the surgery. Commenting on these studies, Harvard psychologist Daniel Gilbert said this, "An uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present with nothing to do but wait." Nothing to do but wait. Well, that's certainly the case with us now in this COVID-19 virus that's going around. We just don't know. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's wondering. The news is more questions than answers. It's causing great, great anxiety. What I want to do today is think about facing anxiety. We want to face uncertainty, trusting God, without all the stress. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 this morning. You might want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there and wait for me for just a moment. I want to put this in context, though, this morning, and you'll be familiar with this. Moses has led the nation of Israel out of captivity in Egypt, which was a miraculous event in itself. So many of them, and they'd been in captivity for so long. He's led them through the Red Sea on dry land. Miracle of miracles. He's led them in the wilderness for 40 years, and their numbers have increased, but all the miracles they saw there in the wilderness. And now he's led them up right to the Jordan River, swollen out of its banks with the flood. Angry Jordan River. Here they all wait. And now Moses died. And God has given the reins of leadership over to Joshua. Joshua's never led Israel. Israel's never followed Joshua. Over there in Canaan, they don't know what's waiting for them. So my point is, Israel is facing very, very uncertain times. Very uncertain times, much like we're facing. What I want to do this morning is read these 3 or 4 verses and come back and take them apart and see if they don't have something to say to us today. Follow along with me, Joshua chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. This is God speaking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now listen, with all the uncertainty of the COVID-19 virus that is everywhere, with all of the difficulty that's causing in terms of health, in terms of job loss, in terms of the economy, in terms of all this uncertainty, these are reassuring words from the Lord. These are reassuring promises from the Lord, given first to Joshua, then to Israel, and now to us here in Pflugerville and in Texas and across our nation. What I want to do now is take what God has said and find application to this here in our situation. First of all, and you'll see it there, God says, be strong. Be strong. In the midst of the uncertainty that you're facing, be strong. Isn't that obvious? God repeats this instruction to Joshua in our passage in verses 6, 7, and 9. And then Joshua repeats it a fourth time to the people of Israel over in verse 18. Be strong. In the face of uncertainty, be strong. When you don't know what tomorrow will bring, be strong. When there's anxiety and panic all around you, be strong, God says. In the context of this passage, we should ask ourselves, what does God mean when he tells Joshua to be strong? Clearly, he's not talking about physical strength. He's not talking about sheer might. That's not his point. We get a little bit of an insight there in the last half, verse 9, where God seems to give a couple of opposites. Be courageous. And then the opposite of that, don't be afraid. And then be strong. And the opposite, don't be discouraged. You know, Superman is strong. He can face anything. He can deal with everything. He can take a speeding bullet. He can take everything. Nothing makes him weak until he comes across kryptonite. Are you all comic book fans? You remember this with me? When Superman is exposed to kryptonite, it just wilts him. He just loses all his strength. He becomes as weak as a kitten. We're not Supermen, but we're certainly in a position to appreciate Superman. I don't know about you, but when it comes to attitude and outlook on life and general personal strength, when it comes to overall effectiveness, my kryptonite is discouragement. Discouragement just saps the life out of me. When I get discouraged, I become as weak as a kitten. Are you that way also? I believe you are. I once heard a story about the old devil who was planning to retire and put up for auction all of his weapons. He had them there listed. Gossip and a sharp tongue and on and on and on. All of his weapons. One of them was more worn than all the rest of them, and it had a higher price on it than all the rest of them. One of the junior devils was there looking at all those weapons, and he turned to old Satan and he said, "Look at this one. It's almost worn out, and yet its price is the highest." And Satan smiled and said, "That weapon is discouragement. Whenever I attack one of the followers of the Lord, nothing else would work. Discouragement always worked. Discouragement would always drain them of their strength. Discouragement would always render them defeated. Discouragement, one of Satan's most powerful weapons. A synonym for discouragement is hopelessness. The whole planet is facing the COVID-19 virus. The whole planet is wondering what to do. The whole planet is wandering in hopelessness. We're being quarantined in our homes. We're wearing masks and gloves everywhere we go. We're under a quarantine that's not just local, but across the entire nation. What are we going to do? That's a good question. What are we going to do? Well, God says, don't be hopeless. Don't hope in men. Don't hope in government. Don't hope in science. The antidote for hopelessness is putting our hope in God. Listen to some of what God says. Psalm 147, verse 10. He is not impressed by the strength of a horse. He does not value the power of a man. The Lord values those who fear him, those who put their hope in his faithful love. Psalm 39, verse 7. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. So don't be discouraged. Don't be hopeless. Be strong in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. That's his first instruction. Now, the second is also obvious. In addition to be strong, be courageous. Be courageous. Four times in Joshua chapter 1, we find the Lord's instruction, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 18. Three more times, Deuteronomy chapter 31, we find be strong and courageous. Verse 6, verse 8, and verse 23. That's a parallel description of this event. But repetition of the concept of being courageous in the Lord is found all through the Bible. It's one of the primary themes in the Bible. While it might be a little difficult for us to define strength, it might be a little bit difficult for us to wrap our minds around that concept. We all pretty much understand what it means to be courageous in the Lord. Just being a public follower of Christ requires some courage. Being persecuted for following Christ, we've talked about that in the last few weeks, requires some courage. But facing this COVID-19 virus, friends, that requires a whole new kind of courage. That's a whole different kind of courage. And yet, God says to us, be courageous. The Bible has several things to say about being courageous in the Lord. Let me just highlight a few of them. Courage comes, here's the first one, courage comes from following Scripture. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 13, carefully follow the statutes and ordinances the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. The idea here is we are as courageous as lions if we know what God's will is. And the only way for us to know God's will is by looking in Scripture. Scripture tells us what is God's will. If we look in Scripture and we understand God's will and follow God's will, oh, friend, we can be courageous then. A second thing we're talking about being courageous is courage comes from hoping in God. And of course, this begs a simple question. What do I genuinely hope in? This COVID-16 virus is probably testing us to see what we're putting our hope in. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be strong and courageous, all you who put hope in the Lord. So courage comes from putting hope in God. If I have my hope in men, I'm not very courageous. If I put my hope in politicians, I'm not very courageous. If I put my hope in scientists, I'm not very courageous. But if I put my hope in God, there's where the courage comes from. Here's another one. Courage comes from waiting on God. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be courageous and let your heart be strong. Wait for the Lord. You know, I'm not much good at waiting. You probably aren't much good at waiting either. But if I know what I'm waiting for is going to be there, I'm better at it. If I'm not sure what I'm waiting on is going to be there, it's real hard for me to wait. God's always going to be there. And while I don't like waiting, I can wait on God as long as I know He's going to be there. That's the concept, the scriptural concept of waiting on the Lord. Two young girls were waiting out here under our overhang last summer. Linda and I were leaving. They were sitting there on the curb, and we asked them if we could give them a ride somewhere. They were preteen, maybe early teenage girls, and they said, "No, Pastor, our mom's going to pick us up, and we know she's going to be here." And they were just as happy as they could be. Why? Because they knew their mom was going to be there. It's easier to wait if we have confidence in something. We have our confidence in God, therefore, we can wait on God. We can wait on God. And here's the last layer of courage. Courage comes from each other. You know what I mean? We can give each other courage, or we can withhold courage. But in Bible, we're to give each other courage. You encourage me, I give you courage, you give courage to one another. That's scriptural, especially as it applies to the church. When Paul was being transferred from the Jerusalem prison to the Roman prison, we can imagine how discouraged he must have been. But then we read this written by Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 28, verses 14 and 15. "And so we came to Rome." Now, the believers from there had heard the news about us and had come to meet us from as far as Forum and Appius and three taverns. That was two cities that were in existence then. That was a long way for the followers to travel. When Paul saw them, he thanked God, listen to this, and took courage. He took courage. Has it occurred to you that in the midst of this frightening coronavirus, you can give others courage, or you can steal courage from them? But the Bible, in the church, we're to give each other courage. We're to encourage each other. We heard a rap on our door about 5 days ago, a quick three-beat rap. And I went to the door, and there's no one there. And I told them, "There's no one here." And I turned to go in, and someone had put a note on our window there beside the door. And I took it off. You know what that note said? The note said, "We live here in your community," and it gave the address. "Our names are so forth, such and such." And they said, "If you need anything, call us. Here's our phone number. If you need anything, if you need to groceries from the grocery store, if you need for us to pick up medicine at the pharmacy, if you need to ride anywhere, call us. We're here to help in the Lord." And they gave their names. And I thought, what a wonderful thing this is. People in the Lord just doing what they can to encourage other people. That is so scriptural. I hope you're encouraging one another. I hope you're not stealing courage, but giving courage to one another. And here's the last thing. Be guarded. Be guarded. And I have to immediately clarify, I'm not suggesting that you should be on guard. That's not the idea here. What I'm saying is you should know, you should understand that you are being guarded. In the face of uncertainty, as we all move forward into the unknown in many cases, as our Christian mettle is being tested, you are being guarded by God and by God alone. God is guarding you. Look back at the original passage here, Joshua and all of Israel. We're about to attempt to cross this angry Jordan River, swollen out of its flood banks. Now think about this for a moment. Little children, elderly, sick and afflicted, milk cows, plowing oxen, herds of sheep, all of this, they're going to take across the Jordan River. Can you imagine the anxiety? And then when they got to the other side, miraculously, if they were to get to the other side, they're going to face the giants of Canaan. These are warring people. Israel was not a warring people. Can you just imagine all the anxiety in these people, in their hearts, in their souls. Great, great anxiety. And then Joshua says this to them in the last half of the ninth verse. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Listen to that again. God is with you wherever you go. You know, sometimes in life, this is the primary thing we have to hold on to. Sometimes life is just bigger than us. Sometimes life is bigger than politicians. Sometimes life is bigger than the scientists and the researchers. Sometimes in life, the primary thing we have to hold on to is God. Those of us who follow the Lord can set all of that aside, and we hold on to God. That's what we hold on to. And He guards us. We get to hold on to God and God alone. Do you remember this? I've read this to you before. Romans chapter 8, some selected verses. Paul says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that nothing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're guarded by God. You will be guarded by God. In the midst of all the anxiety, you're going to be guarded by God. I want to take just a moment here and play for you testimony from a number of people who are sheltering in place themselves as they communicate to us being guarded by God.
When peace like a river attendeth my way,
when sorrows like sea
my soul,
with my soul.
my soul.
Sheltering in place or not, it is well with our souls. Our souls are guarded by a powerful God. Listen, let's move into the uncertainty ahead of us, trusting in our great, great God. God love you. God bless you. See you next Sunday.